Matthew chapter 3, we're continuing on in our study of John the Baptizer. Matthew 3, just open with a short reading, and then we'll have some further readings later on. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." I will read for now. Title of my message is, "It's not about me. It's not about me." It's easy to get sucked into the "it's all about me" world. Products are targeted specifically at you, right? With slogans. You probably have some of the same ones here that we have back home. "Because you're worth it. Get what you deserve. Why wait? Obey your thirst." Remember that one. "No boundaries. Got the urge?" And they just keep going, right? In other words, gratify yourself and do it right now. Gratify yourself instantly, regardless of the consequences, because after all, life is all about you, except for the fact that it isn't. It isn't. That's not why we were made. That's not why we're here. Social media, more than any other recent innovation, has intensified the "it's all about me" atmosphere of our world. I was on a plane, and there was a man sitting a couple rows in front of me, diagonally, and I got nosy. So he had his phone out, and he had taken a picture of himself, a selfie, and then he began to work on it. And suddenly he's zooming in and he's removing his blemish, and he zooms in again, and suddenly his teeth are a lot whiter. And then he starts working on his waistline. Appalled, and had to find out what was that after me? Now, it's easy, from the obsession with the way that we look, from selfies to the number of followers that I have, to the likes that I've received, to the retweets that have occurred, it's obvious that for many, many people, sometimes even Christian people, life can quickly turn into being all about me, except for the fact that it isn't, not supposed to be. We might say that one of the main messages of God's word, and certainly one of the main messages from the life of John, we're going to notice this, one of the main messages from the word of God is that it's not about me at all. Well, let's start by noticing where John is after the rather unusual circumstances of his birth, which we have covered in previous sections. The Bible tells us in Luke 1 and verse 80 that he was in the wilderness until the day that he was revealed to Israel. The first thing I want to point out is that we see John trending in the wilderness. He's trending in the wilderness. That's where we find him preaching. That's where we find him baptizing here in Matthew chapter 3. Suddenly, everybody's talking about John. He's the subject. He's the focus in the nation. And everybody's saying, Have you heard? There's this man out in the wilderness. He kind of reminds me of Elijah. He's dressed like him. He's hairy like Elijah was. And he's got a leather belt around himself. He reminds us of Elijah. Everybody's talking about John. And not only are they talking about him, they're going out to listen to him, going out to listen to his message, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they're not just going out to see him and going out to hear him. Actually, they're going out to be baptized of him in the Jordan River. But for the longest time, John was in the wilderness. Unheard of. No one knew who he was. He was hidden away for a long period of time. Luke says during that period of time, John continued to grow and become spiritually strong. But hardly anyone knew who John was until he was about 30 years old. before he was trending in the wilderness, is training in the home, growing spiritually, learning the word of God before God was going to use him greatly. What a good lesson for young people here. Take advantage of your years at home. Get to know God. Study his word. Not just so that you know it academically, but there's nothing wrong with that either. But study the word of God. Grow spiritually. You will never have as much time as you have right now to learn the word of God. You will never have as much time as you have right now. You get married, you should start thinking about somebody else, which is good. You need to think about other people. The general process of life has us going through one phase of another and constantly having to think of more and more people other than ourselves. God designed that intentionally. We think about another person now, a spouse. We think about children that come into the world. And eventually, you're thinking about grandchildren if the Lord blesses you in this way, so that you're not thinking just about you. But while you're young, get to know the word of God. Grow spiritually. And God will use you and he will bless you. Well, at last the time came for John to begin his work. And we're not sure exactly how he knew that the time was right. But somehow he did. Both he and his message begin trending in the wilderness. Verse 5 of our text says, then people from Jerusalem, as well as all Judea and all the region around the Jordan, going out to him, to John. And so we see him trending in the wilderness. Number 2, I want you to think about his target audience. His target audience. He begins preaching to and baptizing his own people, the Jews. Now, there's nothing unusual about preaching to the Jewish people. They had prophets before that spoke the word of God and gave a message from God and they listened. But baptizing them? Baptizing them? Yet they are the ones coming to hear him. And again, preaching to them might not have seemed strange. Baptizing them was. I have to say the baptism wasn't a new thing. Gentiles that converted to Judaism were baptized as a purification rite, initiation rite. But John was actually targeting the Jews to be baptized. And when they came, they confessed their sins. So that, in one sense, his ministry is implying that the Jewish people were so far from God that they were not any different than the Gentiles. It was like time to start all over, time to reset everything. In a way, he was saying, you're no better than anyone else. All are away from God, and all are in need of repentance. Oh, what a good message that still is. Everybody's away from God. No one's better than anyone else. We're equally separated from God because of our sins. And as we were just reminded from our brother in gospel preaching, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is that all who call upon him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. All need a Savior, and all can receive salvation because Christ dies for all. So we have John's target audience now. It's his own people that he's baptizing. Now, number 3, LinkedIn. LinkedIn, you're going to, some of you that are younger already know this is social media jargon. I'm sorry, but LinkedIn. So let's turn, please, to John chapter 1 for another reading. Short reading here. John chapter 1. Hopefully I'll be able to explain what I mean by LinkedIn here. John 1 and verse 35. John 1:35, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now we could have read many verses noting the same thing, that John had disciples, men that were linked with him and his ministry. But notice what John did. He points them to Christ. He says, here's the one that you need to be linked with. Here's the one you need a link with. He says, look, the Lamb of God. And these two disciples here left John and they followed Jesus. We learn from John 1 that these two individuals were John the Apostle and Andrew. Andrew was then instrumental and bringing his brother Simon Peter to the Lord Jesus. Let me just say this: if you're leading other people, that's what John was doing. If you're leading other people, listen, some of you are even young and you're leading people. You might not even realize that you are people that are looking up to you. If you're leading others, the most important thing about your leadership is to influence others to follow Christ. Influence others to be followers of Christ. When John started his ministry, Christ was not yet on the scene. Right? He began his ministry first as the forerunner. So he had followers. But when Christ was revealed, John wanted his disciples to follow Christ instead. John wanted them to be linked in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just ask you this question? Who are you following? Who are you following? I'd be following hundreds of people on Twitter and other platforms. Quite obviously, we need to be followers of the Lord Jesus above everyone else. Above all, make sure that you are linked in with him. Now, because so many were flocking to John and his message, the higher-ups in his nation were not so happy about it. In fact, they were quite jealous. Suddenly, they're not listening to us. They're out there listening to this man. So number four, John was trolled by the top influencers. He was trolled by the top influencers. So he's making big waves, and the big shots in Judaism were sent to agitate him, right? That's what they were doing. They end up trolling him. They come and they say, "Who are you? Who are you?" Essentially, they are asking him about three prophesied people in the Old Testament. The Jews were expecting the arrival of three particular people in the future. They're expecting the Messiah. They're expecting Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord, Malachi 4. They're expecting Messiah. They're expecting Elijah. They're expecting the prophet that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy 18. Of course, what they didn't realize was that the Messiah and the prophet spoke, the prophet would be the same person. But they're looking for these three figures, and so they go down the list. Number one, are you the Christ? Are you the Christ? John says, no. No. In verse 20 of our chapter, he specifically says, I am not the Messiah. I am not the Messiah. These are probably good words that we need to say to ourselves every so often, by the way, when we get to thinking that the world all revolves around us, right? I am not the Messiah. John says, he said, are you the Christ? He says, no. All right, you're not the Christ. Number two, are you Elijah that's coming? John says, no. Interestingly, Jesus said later that John was Elijah. Maybe John simply didn't want to draw any attention to himself, but because after all, he knew it's not about me, it's about me. So are you the Christ? No. Are you Elijah that's coming? No. Number three, are you the prophet? He says, no. No, no, no. Don't you realize, John, you have a lot more followers if you say yes to any of the above. He could have increased his number of followers, right? If I say that I am, lots of people are going to come and listen to me now. John knew the truth. It's not about me. So they ask him, well, who are you then? I love his answer. He just says, I'm the voice. I'm just the voice. The voice of one shouting in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. He says, I'm just the voice. That's how he saw himself. Now, it had been four centuries since a voice from the Lord had been heard. So this was quite significant to have a voice from God being heard. No prophet had been sent for nearly 400 years. But that all changed when John came and the nation heard his voice. And by the way, that's a healthy way of looking at ourselves sometimes, isn't it, in this world. We're just the voice. We get all caught up with our look and externals. We're a voice speaking truth in an upside down world that needs to hear the truth. A voice that can give people hope because the message we have can bring them hope. A voice speaking about Christ, about what he's done for us, about what he can do for them. You're a voice. You're a voice at work. You're a voice at school. You're a voice in your neighborhood. Let people hear the message. message that you have to bring. Now, while John was baptizing, he was surprised that suddenly Jesus comes. The Lord Jesus comes to him. And it was there that John received, number five now, a direct message by the river. Call it a DM by the river. So we know what that is. And the direct message in the river, let's look at verse 29. We're backing up now in John chapter 1. Look up the page a little bit. John 1, look at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water." So here it is. And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not." Here's the direct message. "But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." So he's baptizing people, and then the Lord Jesus comes, and he gets this direct message. "The one who sent me to baptize said to me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the one who baptizes with this Holy Spirit." So John gets a direct message that he would know which person was the Messiah, because he would see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, and then it happened. But John was confused for a moment, right? You know the record in Matthew. The people needed to be baptized and to confess their sins, and that Jesus is here is no sin. So Matthew records John saying to Jesus, he said, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me." Jesus said, "Let it happen, for it is right for us to fulfill all righteousness." And by submitting the baptism, the Lord Jesus was divinely authenticating the baptism of John. He was identifying with his people. There's other things that could be said. But John told the people that the coming Messiah was so glorious that he wasn't even worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. In ancient times, a slave would perform many menial tasks for his master, but unstrapping a sandal was considered so menial, would oftentimes not even be asked of a slave. Like a master would hardly even ask a slave to do this. John, in saying that he was not worthy to untie Jesus' sandals, John was saying that the Messiah was so glorious that he was not even qualified to be his lowest slave. He really knew the theme of our message. It's not about me. And yet this is the one who came to be baptized by John at the Jordan. And after the baptism, there was another direct message that was given there. You remember what that was, right? A voice from heaven boomed out, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And I think that John would say, "Yep, it's not about me. It's about him. It's about him." We need to relearn this lesson over and over again. Life is not about us. It's not about us. It's all about glorifying Christ. It's all about honoring him, this dark world. Now we have to move on. I've got two more. I want you to think about it. Number six, losing followers and loving it. Losing followers and loving it. Turn to chapter 3 then of John's gospel. John chapter 3. And we'll break into the reading. Verse 22. John 3 and 22. "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth them, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And here are words we need to burn into our minds. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, we already read about two of John's disciples leaving him to follow Jesus. And John was happy about it because he told them to do it, right? He directed them to Christ. When was the last time you checked one of your accounts and noticed that you had fewer followers? Did you say, oh, good, I've got fewer followers now. Were you happy about it? John had fewer followers, fewer and fewer and fewer. He was happy. He was happy. Because that was his purpose. His purpose in life was to get others to follow the Lord Jesus. Now, there was some overlap in the ministry of John and of the Lord Jesus. John was baptizing, and so were the disciples of Christ. You might say the battle of the baptisms was on. It wasn't really a battle. But John's disciples thought it was. They saw competition here. They come to John, they say, teacher, the one who was with you on the other side of the Jordan River, he is baptizing, and everyone is flocking to him. It's interesting that they don't even use his name. They just say, the one that was with you. What's John's reaction? He must increase. I must decrease. This is good. This is right. John is losing followers, and he's loving it because he knew it's not about me. It's about him. Now, the last thing I'm going to look at, number seven, is John gives us some, well, we're going to look at it as shareable content. Shareable content. Look at verse 31 then. Listen to this content. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. So with his disciples before him, John shares a lot of helpful information about this one who must increase, and why they should be glad as he was glad that his followers were now followers of Jesus Christ. He shares this content with them, and we need to examine it. He says Jesus came from above. He came from heaven. I certainly didn't. He came from heaven. He's above all others. He's superior to all others. He says that twice. Earlier in John 1:30, he says that Jesus was before him. Well, John was born first, so how could this be? He understood the pre-existence of Jesus in heaven. He understood that he was divine. Jesus himself said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is the eternal Son of God who came from heaven. It must be all about him. We must glorify him. John also shared that Jesus was the bridegroom of God's people. He says, I'm just the friend. I'm just the best man, if you will, of the bridegroom. Lord Jesus was sent by God. He says he was sent by God. He was given the Spirit without measure. He says he's loved by his Father. And listen, the Father has placed all things under his authority. People ought to be following him. I'm following me. John had still more shareable content yet. He says, the Lord Jesus is the difference between having everlasting life and experiencing the eternal wrath of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's clearly all about him. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Wrath of God abideth on him. Don't you see how great he is? He must increase. And I must decrease. It's interesting that The Lord Jesus said about John in Matthew 11 and 11 that among those born of women, no one has appeared who is greater than John the Baptist. But John said, I must decrease. It's not about me. Let me end with this. Most students know of Isaac Newton's famed encounter with the falling apple. Newton discovered and introduced the laws of gravity in the 1600s, which obviously revolutionized astronomical studies, among other things. But few know that if it weren't for Edmund Halley, the world might never have learned from Isaac Newton. It was Halley who challenged Newton to think through his original notions. It was Halley who corrected Newton's mathematical errors and prepared geometrical figures to support his discoveries. It was Halley who coaxed a hesitant Newton to write his great work, Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy. It was Halley who edited and supervised the publication. It was Edmund Halley who financed its printing, even though Newton was wealthier and easily could have afforded the printing costs. Historians call it one of the most selfless examples in the history of science. Now, as you know, Newton began almost immediately to reap the rewards of prominence. They received little credit. He did, however, use the principles to predict the orbit and return of the comet that would later bear his name, but only after his death did he receive any acclaim at all. Because the comet only returns every 76 years, the notice is rather infrequent. Halley remained a devoted scientist who didn't care who received the credit as long as the cause was being advanced. Others have played that role. None better than John the Baptizer. As people turned from him and to the Messiah coming after him, the cause was being advanced. Let's learn from Halley. Let's learn from John. It's not about me. Life is not about you, my brother, my sister. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He must increase. We must decrease. The earlier we figure this out, the better. But we need to be reminded all along life's journey that life is not about us. It's about our Savior.